New seamless fabric. Mm-hmm. Well, now, how about that? New seamless fabric. That's something brand new, isn't it? This is Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, bringing you the thought for today. New seamless fabric. Now, science is always coming up with something new, and they're always coming up with something that is supposed to be endless and eternal. And they're saying people who have a tendency toward Alzheimer's disease, if they keep busy with crossword puzzles and things like that, they keep their mind active and dynamic, and they wouldn't come into that. Well, one person, President Reagan, who experiences Alzheimer's disease, he perhaps has one of the most active minds of anybody on earth, and yet it didn't stem the tide for him. But that's okay. He's having a good time. New seamless fabrics. Well, I don't know. Have you not heard of a seamless fabric before? Mm-hmm. And what seamless fabric have you heard before?
The seamless robe of Jesus.
The seamless robe of Jesus. Now, how could they make a seamless robe from an endless fabric? Well, do any of you know how fabrics, that is, how yarns and how thread and things like that are made? They're made of a continuous grouping of filaments around whatever the dimension is supposed to be. Yarn is a little thicker than thread. Thread is a little more dense, perhaps, than yarn. But the fabric is being fed filaments, and it makes it longer and longer and longer. So, when they were making the seamless robe of Jesus, they were going around with the fabric, making it into its form, and someone really knew what they were doing. And they were able to make the circle in such a way that the sleeves were contiguous with the body of the robe, and the opening in the front, if there was one, or the opening for the head, certainly, was such that it was a seamless mode, that when they got done, they had never added any thread to it. It was just all one piece. There are no cuts at the side that had to be sewn up or things like that. Now, number one, it takes a most creative mind to do that. And number two, it takes someone who has someone creating the fabric for them as they're working, so that they just continually have enough. And it is really quite something. So, how the fabric we can understand, because that's being made in mills all over the world, and it's being made by the lady who sits in the tower spinning her fabric, spinning her yarn. And she's making this long, 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 long fabric. And of course, I would say, if a spider had enough to eat and didn't have to go out and search for food, it could have a continuous web that goes on and on and on and on and on. Now, I don't know the story, but I would imagine that a spider who is weaving his web, he's going here and there and everywhere, making his beautiful web and making it in its specific pattern that they do. And I don't think that he stops and then patches on. I think he just continues making the web. And he must have a fabulous supply of silk inside of him, you know? And it's a fluid, but it is ever so tiny, yet ever so strong, and it is used to catch his food. And so, as a fly falls into his web, he has his lunch, and then he goes on with his work. And as something else falls into his web, he has. But what about a web that doesn't catch anything? What about a web that nobody falls into it? And that means the spider has nothing to eat. So does he run out of his the thread at that time? It's a good point to think about. You know, we don't really think about these things half the time. But today, science is making a filament that is supposed to be a seamless fabric. And with this seamless fabric, they're going to just keep pouring it on and making it around, and they can make what do they say here? They would make a seamless garment and seamless clothes, form-fitting clothes for people. And when you got a little bit fatter, it would stick out. When you got thinner, it would come back in again. Nice, huh? Almost like having elastic around it, you know. But it's not, huh? Like skin. Yeah, there you go. That's even better, like skin. And it doesn't need to have different sizes for different times. So as you eat more or eat less, your size would all be measured by your fabric that is on you. And I think that's a fascinating idea, the new seamless fabric. And I think that that'd be quite unique. Now, just imagine people's clothing that was form-fitting. I mean, you could really see a beautiful girl and know every nook and cranny of her beautiful form, you know. And, of course, for a man, that would be quite interesting, too. You'd see every nook and cranny of him. And that might not be, well, it may be what they want to do. It may be what they want to do, and maybe it doesn't matter. I think it all goes back to the point that we're born without clothing, we die without clothing, and we probably should live that way, too, if it were convenient to do it with the temperature. But again, the Tierra del Fuego Indians go into the water, the little babies, 2, 3, 4 years old, who play in icy streams, they're not disturbed by it. We're disturbed because, oh my gosh, get the kid out of there, he'll catch cold, he'll get pneumonia, it's ice cold water. Doesn't bother him. He comes in from playing outside, been frozen to pieces, and he comes in and takes off his wet clothes and so forth, and he's not cold. He doesn't say, I'm shivering, you know. He just says, I am comfortable. And perhaps one day the seamless clothes will come down to our birthday suit. The most seamless clothing available. And doctors are able to mend the seamless clothing with other part of the seamless clothing. Like when Ellen had her operation done on her jaw, part of it had to be replaced. And so they took a little bit from her hip and a little bit from a cow, and they mixed the two together, and they put that substance in her jaw. And the substance grew very beautifully and very solidly to make a very firm jaw into which she could have an implant put. Now, that sounds like a very strange thing, but we don't know really what strange things there are going on in this world. If we did, we'd really be surprised. People lose their finger and they sew another finger on. And sometimes if they don't have a finger, well, then they take a finger from a cadaver and they sew it on. A cadaver is a dead person, you know. And who has offered his body to be used for whatever. And so here you got a hairy finger on a lady's nice hand.
Is it something macabre?
Macabre, yes. But really, that's not so strange. It's not so unusual. We make macabre things out of these things by the fact that we say that they're strange and unusual. But we don't really know the strange and unusual things that are going on. Like, wouldn't you think it's strange that a mother said, my baby hurts? And so they take an x-ray of the baby being born, and they see that it needs an operation. So they go into the uterus that is into the sac that the baby is in, and they go into the baby, they operate on the injury or whatever it is, repair it, sew it up, then they sew up the sac, and then they sew up the mama, the kid comes out whole and perfect, you know. But he wouldn't have come out whole and perfect if they hadn't done that, because he would have had this injury that would have continued to grow into a more dynamic injury. But these are things that modern science is doing, and doing very beautifully. Like so many people, they say, well, I could have had an electro scan and find out what kind of baby I'm going to have, boy or girl. And most couples, they're not afraid of it. They say, I'm taking what comes. I don't need to know what's going to come. I like a little surprise now and then. Whatever it's going to be, it's going to be good. It's going to be a fabulous kid. It's going to be a beautiful kid. But science has offered us the opportunity of knowing. When you go in for a doctor's examination, he'll say, you want a picture of the baby? Well, I'm sure about it. And so they take an electro scan of the baby and tell you what kind of baby it is. Is it going to be a big boy or a little boy, or a big girl or a little girl? It's going to be twins. It's going to be quintuplets, or it's going to be quadruplets, or whatever it's going to be. And the mother says, my gosh, I thought I was just putting on weight. And lo and behold, she has this house full of children born all at once. But you see, the seamless fabric of life is a continuity that never ends. It's the cells within every human being that are exactly the same. The cells in every human being are exactly the same. And the cells in the animals basically are the same too. The only thing is, the cells that we see of the animals are the cells that they have mutated, or maybe we mutated, that they have pressed mutated to have fur on it, to have the ability to keep them warm and keep them, they can, well, like Blackie, Inga's cat. I went into the room there where all of the boards were, and I looked up on the shelf and I heard the mewing a little bit, and she was all cuddled up in there, and very comfortable, very warm, very happy, up on the top shelf. And she was doing her thing. She didn't want to come down. She was all snuggly. No sense moving around when you're all nice and warm. And so that's just the way it is. You know, she was comfy. And yet, she just has this thin group of hair, that the fur that she has, which hangs down over her body, not enough to make anything warm. But it's like a thermal blanket made out of fibers that they are designing now. And they have the fibers made of modified stainless steel are durable enough to withstand knitting machines, yet pliable enough to be undetectable to the touch. And these are ones that they're going to make electric blankets out of. They make blankets. They showed a picture here of a person wearing this thing while he's ice fishing on the lake. And it's just plugged into a little battery, you know, just like maybe a flashlight battery. And it keeps him warm because it doesn't have much to do. Those little tiny filaments just glow and keep him warm. It shows he's quite warm. Yeah. When you look around here and you see the ice is quite cold. But new seamless fabrics, we think that is so fantastic and so beautiful, and it is quite nice. One day we'll get to the really seamless fabric. And what is the seamless fabric of all?
Energy.
Energy. Yeah. The seamless fabric of all is oneness, going even beyond energy. Energy is a seamless fabric, that's true. It is everywhere, in everything, doing everything. But I was meaning to go back even a little further than energy. Go back to oneness. When we recognize our oneness as all, we will have the seamless fabric of the ultra seamless fabrics. And we will think our thought, and then we will have whatever we choose from our thought. We will think our thought, and we'll have a beautiful warm blanket, should that be our choice. Or we'll just be warm. And we'll be walking along, sans clothing, and we'll be out in the middle of the desert or in the woods or something, and a wind comes up that's quite cold, and the temperature begins to drop for the night. And we just wrap ourselves in our warm blanket of love, and we surround ourselves with this blanket, and we don't feel the wind. We don't feel the temperatures. We don't feel anything. We are immune to anything other than that, which is what we want to feel. And this we can do right now. This many people do right now. This is what I'm sure Jesus did when he was out in the desert 40 days and 40 nights. That gets cold out in the desert at night. And they knew he didn't take anything to eat along, didn't take anything to drink along. And yet he came back perfectly fine. His disciples were all shook up and said, you got to have something to eat, you know, something to drink. And they went to the fig tree to get a fig for him, and it was barren. And Jesus pointed out that that which is barren, that which will not bear fruit, kills itself and destroys itself, and it is cursed, and it was no longer. This is how each one of us are. When we don't follow what we know is best and finest for us within ourselves, when we ever allow anyone else in our creation to guide our lives and tell us what to do, and I mean this very seriously, we are always asking for advice. We're saying, Herb, what should I do? Herb, what should I do? I say, follow your heart. Rhonda called, and she says she has some very interesting thoughts going on in her mind. And she says, what should I do? And I said, Rhonda, the thoughts you have going on in your mind are thoughts that no other human being would ever have. And these are yours alone. Now, you follow your heart as to what you think you should do, and you'll do the right thing. But if you ever start listening to what other people say, they will say that you're doing the wrong thing, and they'll say that you are not reasonable, that you are you lost your marbles and all that other good stuff. But you just listen to yourself and follow what your own heart. She says, but my heart says something's interesting. And I said, of course it does. She said, I want to come talk to you about it. I said, that's just fine, but I'm not going to change what your heart says. Whatever your heart tells. She said, well, my heart tells me. I said, that's your body talking. That's not your heart. Your heart is what you believe in yourself. Your body says, I want food, I want sex, I want blankets, I want this or that or the other thing, you know. That's what your body says. Your body is just always trying to pass itself off as your heart. But your body's not your heart. Your physical heart is just a symbol. But the heart that I'm really speaking about is the divine within you saying, go for it, babe, have a good time. If you want to go skating on ice that's kind of thin, go right ahead. And you'll fall in if you wish, or you won't fall in. You can be light as a feather if you wish. And your friend skating with you, wolves, we're up to the ice, clutch, she goes down. And you just sail along just as though it is solid as can be. Remember that. You're the master of yourself. You're the master of your own thinking, of your own world. And you're the only one that matters. You're the only one that counts. So when you're thinking of the new seamless fabric, think of it as the new seamless fabric of your oneness with all. You're not in tune with God. You're not one with God. You're not one with a God, an entity, the God of the Christians, the God of the Jews, or whatever. You say, well, they're all the same. Yeah, but they don't think so. They, each one thinks their own God is a special God. We do too, in a way. We think that we're God and that we're special, and we are. But we're not more special than anybody else. We're just special because we're our own creator. We create everything that goes on in our world. Well, once we align ourselves with our awareness that we are one as all, then we have the seamless fabric. We have the seamless fabric, which will be us at 18 years old, at 25 years old, at 30 years old, at 3,000 years old, or 100,000 years old. We'll be whatever it is we want to be. And we can be right here on this planet Earth. Because the Earth has many billions of years to go before it's going to change its format a little bit. And we can be here all that time, and we can enjoy seeing it reveal itself and seeing how people solve their problems. Not that we're thinking their problems are bad, but we watch how Greenpeace becomes a balanced universe. We watch how wars become peace. We watch how people who are underprivileged become alert and aware to the divinity within them. All of this is the new seamless fabric that is waiting for us once we connect with our divine self, once we connect with our oneness as all. And so it is. Mm-hmm. Mm.